back to order. The time is 3:20, March 29th. Members present are Senator Stevens, Senator Stedman, Senator Seekins, Senator Elton, Senator Dyson, and myself, Senator Wagoner. We're going to continue from Monday. We're working on draft I of CS for Senate Bill 305. First item I've got listed, Senator Stevens, you were wanting to revisit Y-18.
Well, I was told, Mr. Chairman, that we weren't going to do any amendments. That's the message I got in my email, that we weren't going to do any amendments, so I didn't bring Y-18.
Any new amendments?
I didn't bring it with me. I didn't take the chance to get it.
You'd asked to hold them on the table there, and I've just given you the courtesy of them on those.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Y-18 has to do with version Y. So it's going to take me a minute to cross-reference.
We can move these two down the end and go through with the agenda and then come back to them.
Well, actually, it has to do with, I can tell you where the sections are on Y-18. The issue, Mr. Chairman, is Y-18 it has to do with page 10, line
25 through 22.
No.
Which one are you with?
I'm trying to move it to I'm trying to move it to I. So it would be. It would be page 10, lines 25 through 27.
Yeah. If you need that again.
As well as the same language. On page 18, lines 26 through 30, to 29. And if you recall, Mr. Chairman, this has to do with the memo that Mr. Balash circulated on Monday, dated March 19th from Don Scheffler.
Right.
And I would move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Object.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak for the amendment Y-18 and include the language that's referenced in both places in the bill with the amendment, because the discussion concerns both of them. And if the members had a chance to read Mr. Scheffler's memo, it relates to the ability to use the tax credits against investments in a FERC-regulated asset. I have two concerns regarding this language, Mr. Chairman. And the first has to do with existing assets in the North Slope that are FERC-regulated or RCA-regulated. As we all know, there's pipelines on the North Slope, existing and future oil pipelines. There's a pipeline from Alpine to Kuparuk and a pipeline from Kuparuk to Flow Station 1, a pump one that is FERC-regulated by FERC. So if we, in fact, put the language in, that's in the language, we would be, those facilities in the future would not be able to exercise or utilize the tax credit method, period. Now, if you read Mr. Scheffler's memo, which is done very well, but it's non-conclusive. It says FERC may take into consideration the credits or they may not. And so when I started thinking about this, the more I came to the conclusion is that by putting this language in, the state would never be able to benefit from the credit methodology that's in place. Now, if you take for a minute, let me explain my reasoning. All the infrastructure on the North Slope is eligible for credit, except for these regulated pieces. Now, we know that FERC uses the cost methodology. They take the capital asset, the cost of the asset, the amount to operate, and then they derive a tariff. And the tariff is deducted back to the wellhead value, which royalty oil is derived from, as well as what taxable oil is derived from. So if we say to ourselves, just use an instance, a $10 million pipeline, FERC will say it costs $10 million to build, and it costs so much to operate, they derive their tariff. But if we say you got a credit mechanism, and if in fact FERC says, okay, you only got $8 million in that line and it costs to operate, the tariff will go down. Therefore, our value will go up. Royalty oil value will go up, and taxable value will go up because you have less of a deduction. But if we, in fact, enact this legislation on this language, we'll never be able to do that. The state would never be able to benefit, because that's really the only way we ever benefit from the credit, is by saying the tariff is lower, the value of oil is higher. So that I because Mr. Stepler's conclusion is non-conclusive, it says FERC may do it, but then again, they may not do it. They may roll in the reduced rates to the tariff or to the ratepayer, but then again, they may not. But this will say to ourselves, say we'll never be able to get it. And I think that if we're going to give credit mechanisms, the state ought to be able to say we should benefit from some of it in the future by lower tariffs, therefore higher royalty value and higher taxable value. The second piece that I object to the language is again is sort of outlined in the first statement of Mr. Shepler's memo, which says you've asked whether proposed net profits, credits, and deductions associated with investments in a North Slope gas treatment plant. We've had this discussion before. I've always been in the position that what we're doing in this bill should be focused on existing production, facilities that will be built to enhance existing production, i.e. in oil and gas, and not take into consideration something in the future. Because in the future, we'll see the whole picture. We don't see that picture now. And so we've taken something from the front and we put something into this picture and say, you can't do that. But we don't know what it means. And so for those reasons, I would move that Y18 strikes the language in Y version on page 10 at the bottom, lines 25 through 27, and again on line 18, on page 18, lines 26 through 29. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Senator Stebbins?
I think that's on the I version.
That's correct.
On the I version.
Senator Stebbins?
You know, I have a similar concern with this particular paragraph, that we don't preclude that issue from happening. And I recognize that there's similar language in version Y. But, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot of this committee about the effect of the royalty and the effect of the tariff, and the interplay with any credits. So even though it's intertwined and difficult issue to grasp, buried in this language, I think we're better off to modify that and deal with it at a later date, when we can iron it out in more detail, so we don't make a tactical error here.
Further discussion, Senator Elton?
I think Senator Seacon.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
I guess the concern that I've got, if we take this out, I mean, I can see, if FERC does not consider the credit in setting the tariff, what we've essentially done is we have essentially set up a system in which the taxpayer gets a double benefit. Because if the credit is not considered in the tariff, they set a tariff based on the ways they've done it in the past, the taxpayer is getting kind of a double benefit. They're getting the increased tariff, plus they're getting the credit. And so I'm bothered by that possible outcome if we take the language out. And I think it's easier to leave the language in, and if it becomes a problem, address it then, rather than assume the flip side.
Senator Seacon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Seems like there are a couple things here that we need to do. First, it's a policy decision that we have to make.
That's right.
And it has nothing to do with how FERC will in effect treat that in the end. If FERC treats that in the end that it's not that it that the credit was not or that that they ignore the credit and they take 100% of the value of the asset and roll it into the tariff, as I understand it, there's contemplated that we would own 20% of the pipe. So in effect, the people of the state of Alaska would get 20% of the tariff and over a long term. So there's some income stream that comes to the people of the state of Alaska there. However, if we where we cut off where that gathering system is before it gets into the main pipe itself, that adds some incentive to being able to construct that facility, construct the collections process, get it to the gas treatment plant and do that, I think that's a worthwhile investment as well, because we basically give a 20% credit against that capital investment, and it's an incentive to get that process moving. So I'm not so sure that the oil companies I think that the state of Alaska, by doing this, doesn't really have that much to risk in being able to give that credit as far down line as we want to, regardless of how FERC treats it. I'd be in favor of striking the language.
Senator Stedman?
The earlier comments by Senator Elton, if I heard you correctly, I think there's some confusion. If there's a credit applied to some infrastructure that there's going to be a tariff charged on, the tariff is charged on the equity position, not on the debt. And if we, the state, give a credit to lower the equity position, we should in turn see a lowering of the tariff. Otherwise, we grant a credit to lower the equity position. We don't get a movement in the tariff, and there's some financial leverage game there. That's the concern, as I understand.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Elton?
If I understood correctly, I mean, that may be true if the state has an equity position. But if it's a FERC-regulated asset that the state doesn't have an equity position in, I mean, that wouldn't be the case.
Senator Stevens?
I'm just going to go on wrap up, but if there's other debate, I'll wait.
That's okay.
Senator Stevens?
I was just going to say, even if the state had no equity interest in it, and the state grants credits, I don't think it would be advantageous to the state to grant credits and not get a movement in the tariff calculation.
And I appreciate the byplay, because it may be helping me understand what the senator is saying, but if, I'm going to use an example, I mean, if FERC doesn't set the tariff and in a manner that reflects the credit, I mean, the royalty product that is going through, that the state owns, is going to be paying the higher credit, at the same time, the taxpayer is able to use the credit to lower their payments to the state. So the state could end up giving a credit for a tariff that doesn't reflect the credit and end up paying more for the transportation of the product the state owns going through that pipe.
Senator Seacrest?
I was just saying it could, Mr. Chairman, but it's not likely, I don't think.
Senator Stevens, wrap up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, again, I would refer to members to Mr. Shepler's memo on the final page in the conclusion, and, you know, just sort of, if I might read just a couple paragraphs, it says, I've not found any clear binding precedent that answers the question you pose. However, since FERC bases rates on costs incurred to provide the services, the fact that project sponsors receive quantifiable tax credits and deductions as a direct result of investing in the GTP suggests that FERC would be inclined to require those benefits be flowed through to the shipper who make use of the GTP. This would be the result I would expect. So he says he would expect that FERC would be required to calculate in the tax credit and in the equity position. It says, under the circumstances, I'm unable to give you a categorical answer to your question. While I believe FERC would most likely require flow-through of state tax benefits, I have to state that the result is uncertain. Now, again, in closing, I think that this bill should focus on oil production, existing production, on projects that are going to enhance existing oil production or gas associated with that production. I think that we should leave the questions about FERC and the GTP to the date when we have all of it in front of us, and I don't believe that this language belongs in this bill at this time. Thank you.
Finally said what I thought you were going to say in wrap up. In other words, we're going to get a chance to revisit this, whatever this vote is, we're going to get a chance to revisit this in the future.
I suspect we will, Mr. Chairman.
And do this all over again.
And the gas contract?
Yeah. I'll maintain my objection. Please call the roll.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Ben Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Elton?
No.
No.
Excuse me?
No.
Senator Seacrest?
Yes.
Senator Wagner?
Yes.
And the point of order, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Stevens?
I just wanted to make, I can, the reference was for both sections in the bill.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Next, was Y-24.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to withdraw that. That.
Okay. Senator Stedman, would you concur that you will withdraw that?
But again, Mr. Chairman, if I might just speak for a moment for the reason
for
withdrawing. You know, this provision that has to do with this section under 160, which is the determination of production value, and the language that's been inserted through this multitude of as I call them, cyclical or circular or whatever we want to call them, languages that really all relate to section 160 and D2M. As we recall, D2M is the costs that are not to be included when determining value. This has just been, to be honest with you, a very confusing process, and I think that I'm not the only one who's been confused, Mr. Chairman, because, you know, I hope that the members had a chance to read Mr. Chenoweth's memo in relationship to this section. And there's you know, page four in the middle of the, in the middle of it, in the middle of his memo states that he's very confused about it and that doesn't quite understand what it is and where the language would be. And he also states, and I have an agreement with him, that whole section 160 is so unwieldy with 22 subparagraphs and cross references. And it's just, it's ripe for misinterpretation. And I think it needs to be reworked. And I think we need to consider, and I'm going to recommend to the next committee that they look at that and break it out into subsections instead of subparagraphs. And because it's so confusing and because I've probably, in some people's mind, wasted enough time trying to interpret this, and I think I probably spent as much time as most people have, I'm going to withdraw that amendment, and I'm going to work in the next committee to have it corrected. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. And yeah, I've been going over and over this too. At this time, then, we'll have Mr. Balash come present the amendment number 1B. Could I have a motion at this time to put that amendment in front of us? You'll find that on the third page. Or
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd move amendment 1B.
Jack.
Okay. Does it look like?
Yeah, you got it.
Mr. Chairman, can I get a copy of that?
I just gave
you.
This is
third page in. I'm just drowning in paper.
Third page is behind the Joe Balash memo. Mr. Balash, would you lead us through this one last time?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, staff of the Budget and Audit Committee. You have before you in Amendment 1. The product of an effort between our tax counsel, Mr. Marvin Kirshner, and his partner, Carolyn Fenneroff, with the firm Greenberg Farag. We spent an hour and a half on a teleconference with the Department of Law and the Department of Revenue to make sure that we have everything captured correctly in this particular section 160, section 22 of the bill. There were a few areas which Mr. Kirshner had raised in his analysis of the governor's legislation, which he thought could be tightened up to reduce the potential write-offs for deduction purposes. That's what this section deals with, is the deductions in the PPT. And also the accompanying adjustments that need to be made in the course of calculating things. The first part of the amendment, page 19, lines 19 to 23, deals with a scenario where a company is receiving revenue from a different company for production facilities use. And Mr. Kirshner recommended that be broadened to include the type of event where somebody divests themselves of that asset and then receives a management fee, that you count that as well. After discussion on the phone, Mr. Mintz and Mr. Kirshner worked out agreeable language to make that section read a little bit easier, and that's embodied in this set of words. And that change, again, occurs. It's subsection E line, and it appears on page 19, lines 19 through 23. rather than having A and B, it's just a single stream of words. On page 20, this fits in part and parcel with another section of the amendment to try and reorder some of this stuff so that it's a little more efficient in the application administration of the statute. This is taking care of the situation where somebody purchases an asset, collects the deduction, and then moves that asset out of state for use out of state. Requires that value be recaptured by the state. The third item, page 22, line 13, requests the insertion of B. That was a more of a technical administrative type thing that the department had requested. Doesn't change anything. Page 22, line 14. This is dealing with subsection M. In that first paragraph is directing the agency to look at determinations of cost which occur in D2N, and then for the purposes of making subtractions, and that's in the lease adjustments in subsection E. So in order for the language to read properly, on page 14, the words or D2O are deleted. On page, the next item, on line 16, the very first three groups of words, D2N or D2O, need to be stricken and replaced with E3A. On further down page 22, line 27 to 28, this is language which the department requested that the committee clarify and set a penalty in the event that a taxpayer fails to comply with a request for information by the department. In previous versions of this amendment, it had been at 20 at the request of the chair. It now reflects 5% to match up with similar civil penalties on tax forms. And then finally, beginning on line 29 through page 23, line 11, this subsection N is going to be deleted entirely. This is an area which was duplicative of an item in the D2 list, the things that are excluded from direct costs. And so this hopefully will help clear up some of the redundancy. Page 23, lines 12 through 14, this was language, the introductory part of the subsection, which Mr. Mintz at the Department of Law recommended to make it a little bit clearer and easier to understand. You'll notice that it says subsection N because the previous subsection N is going to be deleted, and that helps with the reordering. And then finally, page 23, lines 22 through 26, this is that recapture mechanism for the transfer of assets outside the state. On the first page, that section had been added into E3A and therefore is no longer needed back here in the new subsection N.
Thank you, Mr. Bleedock. Any questions? Senator Stebbins?
I'm still trying to play catcher. In the memo, there's a, on the second page of the memo, in the last sentence in the second paragraph, is there some lack of support from the department on some of these insertions, or?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, the one area which we covered in the teleconference, which the department continued to maintain their objection to or failed to agree with Mr. Kirstner on the need for, were the audit powers, and in the I version That appears as subsection M, where a standard is set for how to treat transactions that are not at arm's length. It directs the department to adopt regulations that would incorporate the audit powers of Section 482 of the Internal Revenue Code. These are our audit powers, which the department feels may not be necessary. Our tax counsel continues to think that they would potentially be.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we can hear from the department on that issue.
Ms. Wilson.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Robin Wilson. I'm Director of Tax Division. I believe that, Mr. Chairman, you received a letter, or I saw a draft of a letter to you saying that it was not critical in our view. The department would not say, if it's the committee's pleasure to include that, you know, on the basis of counsel, that's fine. If it is, however, sort of derailing the main point of the legislation, you know, we're not. So I guess it would be sort of more neutral, would be probably a good way to say it.
Well, a good way to say it'd be you don't feel you need it, but if it's there, it's just another tool that sometime you might be able to use.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. We believe under the rules of ordinary, necessary, and direct, you know, I would argue that something in excess of fair market value was not necessary or direct or ordinary. Now, I see in the legal memo that's attached, you know, there's an argument against that, and certainly we could have those discussions later. If the committee chooses to leave it out, you know, we will be arguing for ordinary and necessary. If the committee chooses to leave it in, that would be one more tool. It is true that 482 audits are cumbersome, but I would also offer, and I've done a little bit more research on it since then, but 482 has some rules that talk about sort of a range of arm length values. So I don't believe the intention is ever, for example, where whatever, a mistake is made, time is critical or whatever, $5 million is paid for something that really should have been four. That's not the thrust of a 482 inquiry, where something that should have cost four really was charged at 100, then it becomes an issue. So I think what 482 probably does as a benefit is to provide some sort of safe harbors or some ranges and some guidance to look to for particular kinds of services and assets and so on. So I'm not saying it wouldn't possibly be a benefit, but the department would, again, not say that it has to be in there and have it sort of be distracting from the main point of the legislation.
Thank you. Questions? Further discussion? I objected. I removed my objection. Ask if there's an objection.
I objected, Mr. Chairman.
Objection by Senator Stevens. Please call the roll.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Ben Stevens?
No.
Senator Elvin?
Yes.
Senator Kukesh?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Wagner?
Yes. At this time, we'll have Mary Jackson go through the changes that are made from Y to I version.
I got up at 4 to go to the ferry.
As a point of order, Mr. Chairman, we have adopted I as our working document, though, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll need another motion. You said say why or not.
India. India.
Ms. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Senator Tom Wagner and to the Senate Resources Committee. Before you is I version, and I will run through the changes that were made in that from the Y version. Beginning on the first page, the title, there were a number of deletions in the title because there were a number of deletions from the Y versions. For example, the Cole Cook Inlet feature that we put in there initially, those were all deleted. There were also a couple of inserts because, again, there were new things that were put into, again, the new clawback was an example. Progressivity, slight changes there. Page 2 of the bill, section 1, line 12, reads section 11. It used to read section 14. Page section 2, no changes. Section 3, no changes. Section 4, no changes. Section 5, note here in the Y version, this was the old Cook Inlet provision, section 5, so that has been completely deleted. What you see before you now is the section that pertains to the private royalty and progressivity. On page 3, line 25, new phrase, from a lease that is in effect on the effective date of the subsection. That's from a Y-40 amendment that was adopted. On page 4, line 6, the phrase, except as otherwise provided in subsection 4, was deleted. On page 4, lines 12, 13, and 14 is a new subsection 4. That's a result of Y-40. The new progressivity features that are on page 4 and spill over to page 5 are not. The ones that you see here were corrected by you, replaced on Monday with I-2. On page 5, section 6, this again was an old Cook Inlet feature that was removed when we... Senator?
Ms. Jackson.
Question. On page 4, line 23, have we amended that from property tax to profits tax?
Yes.
Several times, yes, sir. through the chair, Senator Seekins, yes, you have, and in fact, you did it again on I-2.
That's what I thought. Thanks.
Some things take a long time to get out of these bills.
To the chair, there were a couple of those amendments, and it will get
caught. I thought we had, but...
Yes, you have. Continuing on page 5, section 6, this is an old Cook Inlet section and Y version that was eliminated. So what you have here is basically old section 9 of the Y version. Section 7 on page 5, there were technical changes done to lines 25 through 30, and it was an insert and it reads on page 25, after the last day of the third month following the calendar quarter of production, as described in this section, and so on. This was cleanup language that needed to be done because we have a new, this was the clawback. Excuse me, this was the true-up.
This is a true-up, or quarterly.
And the previous section 7 is old Y version 10, other than those corrections on the true-up, which this body made. Section 9 on page 6 is old Y, section 12, no changes. Section 10 is no changes. This is old Y, section 13. Section 11 on 28, on lines 28 on page 6, the terms produced but was inserted, and at the tail end of it, produced and was inserted, so that both sides of that phrase were captured with the term produced. That was the that was Y34. Moving on to page 7. This is a section that is required for the private royalty reference, and this was Y version 12. Excuse me, Y version 15. Section 13 on page 7 are tax credits. There were a number of changes made on this. And there were a number of changes that were not made on this. Unfortunately, when we did the 5,000 barrel, the 5,000 barrel amendment replaced the $73 million standard deduction and the Cook Inlet. So it replaced a number of things. Mr. Mintz did that amendment, but we neglected in that amendment to take out some of the old Cook Inlet provisions, some of which show up right here. If you look at page 7, line 15 through 19, this is the 20% and then the 30%. Remember, we had a higher percentage for exploration. That's no longer there. It should have been removed and was not. Mr. Chairman, this would be a good point to advise the committee that there is an amendment that clears this language up. We'll go back through that again. But I just point this out. This was something that was discussed.
Let me just cover basically what that amendment does real quick.
Yes, sir.
Basically, that amendment will, after the amount of, put 20% of that expenditure there, and then delete all of line 15 through line 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continuing.
Excuse me a minute. Senator Stevens.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does that include development, production, and exploration, or just?
It includes all and exploration.
All of
all three.
Them. Yeah. Thank you.
On page 7, line 13. Excuse me, I just did that one. Page 7, line 25. This was drafting changes. It did show up on line 25. It said, and apply every month an annualized tax credit. All he did was float it into A and B at the beginning of the line, just a drafting correction. But I point out that B, subparagraph B on 30, again, this is part of that 30% provision that needs to be deleted. And that will also be in the amendment that you have before you. Did you? It's page 7, lines 30, 31, page 8, line 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Page 8, lines 10 through 18. Is this was language that should, again, should have come out with that 30% and did not. And that is also in its subsection B and C. And that is in the new amendment. Page 8, line 19, it reads, a producer may elect. You amended Y12 to insert or explorer. And I didn't have that on my sheet, so I don't honestly know if I was out of the room or just wished I was out of the room, but I didn't have that on my sheet. And the same thing goes for page 8, line 24. It was of a producers or explorers was amended on Y12, so that needs to be inserted. On page 8, lines 19 through 26, that was the new language from Y12. Continuing on page 9, lines 17 through 27 is, this was Tech 1. I know, you know, there was, on this one we picked it up, there was transferees, in fact, placed there on page 24. Page 10, line 16. We inserted economically. Excuse me, page 10, line 26. We inserted economically. So it's economically regulated.
We just
amended that. Yeah, we just took that out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but that's.
You took it out again? Woohoo!
Yeah.
The whole paragraph.
That was Y18.
Y18. Okay.
24.
Oh yeah,
Y18.
Well, in this version, you didn't.
But,
so.
Yeah. That's fine.
Y18 deleted what you put in last week. Okay. Then we have on page 10, line 25, for or directly related to was changed because
that's out.
There was a, this is a Y18 again,
yeah.
So never mind. Continuing on to section 14 on page 11. This was the Y section 14 was deleted in the new 5,000 barrel. And this is old version, Y version, section 18. There were no changes. Section 15, page 11, no changes. This is Y version 19. Section 16, page 12. Tech 1 deleted the whole section and inserted this new language, and this was relevant to the true up. Section 17. The language on 17 is the same with the exception on page 13, line 2. The original language, and this was Y21, the original language was the use of the information to use for the purpose of determining or contesting the producer's tax obligation. The balance was no change. Section 18, no changes. This was Y section 22. Section 19, no changes. Why Section 23? Section 20, page 13, line 30, or was deleted. Page 14, section 21, slight nomenclature changes on line 2. It used to read new subsections, now reads a new subsection. I point out that this section is amended with what you adopted on Monday in I-1. And section 22 on page 15, excuse me. On page 15, lines 4, 5, and 6, subsection 2 was an insert from substantive number 2 amendment. Page 15, line 28, under G3 was a revision under substantive number 2. Line 31, page 15, through page 16, line 5, was new language requested by the administration and added. Moving on to page 17, lines 11 through 14 is new language from the administration and admin number 1. Page 17, line 22, we deleted the term capital assets. On page 18, lines 17 through 24. This was identified as a problem by the administration. It pertained to proportionate allocation of costs for abandonment. This was language that was given to me by the administration. I forwarded it to legal. Legal inserted it into the bill instead of making an amendment. So if you want to leave this, and this was language that admin wanted, you leave it there. If you don't want it, delete it. Thank you. Continuing on page 18, line 25 is, these are the corrections of the other asset and the regulatory, which I think go back to Y18. Yeah, okay. Then on page 18, line 31, amounts incurred was a revision requested by administration. On page 19, lines, beginning on lines 5, with the whether, the phrase is whether or not the transaction is treated as an asset for sale, as an asset sale for federal income tax purposes. And this was an administrative amendment that was previously adopted. 19, page 7, beginning on line 7. This is a brand new section that was inserted beginning with the word certain at the end of line 7. So it reads, certain payments or credits received by the producer as provided in this subsection, period. If one or more, and continuing with the rest of the paragraph. Again, this was language requested from administration. On page, oh, that's it for page 19. On page 20, line 14, the new date, April 2001. This is to conform to the new clawback. Page 20, line 19, we deleted on or after January 1, 2003, again, to conform to the new clawback, new times and dates for the new clawback. Then on page 20, line 21, we deleted multiplied by. Page 20, lines 22 to 30 is the new clawback section. Page 20, line 31, 29, 31. This needs to be deleted. This had to do with the transitional investments, and that's on the new language. It goes from page 20, line 31, over to page 21, line 4. Page 21, this is new clawback. Excuse me, this is the new barrels, the 5,000 barrels. This replaces holiday. The 73 million, the new holiday. I'm learning new terms. We have clawbacks and holidays.
Every year a holiday.
And moving on to page 22. Lines 14 and 16, the drafter made these changes, the D2Os. And the same thing on line 26, on page 22. Continuing on to page 23, line 5, the D2O again was a drafter correction. On page 24, this is the tail end of section 22. This is where we need to reinsert the terms ordinary, and that is in the amendment that the drafter deleted. Continuing, that's the end of section 22 then. Section 23, there were no changes. This is why section 27. Section 24 are no changes. This was why section 28. Section 26 is on page 25. This was why section 30. Again on page 25, section 27 is why section 32. Section 28 on page 25, there were slight changes from, there were no changes in section 28. Moving to page 26. Section 29, there were no changes. This is old Y33. Section 30, this is a new definition. Subsection 17 is a new definition for the Cook Inlet Basin because it references back to the private royalty provisions that were inserted. There's no change on 18 or 19, subsection 18 or 19, carrying over to page 27. Section 31 are the repealers. These reflect all the revisions that have been made, what needs to be repealed. Section 32 is the applicability. These are the dates applying to the specific sections. Section 33, the transitional provisions. On page 27, line 31, carrying over to page 28, lines 1, 2, and 3. Those four lines need to be deleted. That's part of the continuation of that 30% credit that never got picked up from the number 2. And that's basically it.
Any questions?
Yes, Chair.
Cinderell?
If we could go back to page 18, lines 17 through 24, and I just want to make sure that I heard Ms. Jackson correctly. This was language that was added by the drafter, but not as a result of any amendment or any direction from the committee. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, that's correct. This was an issue that was raised by the administration. They provided language to me. I shipped it off to the drafter, and there was a miscommunication. Rather than getting it back as an amendment, it got in. It was language that the administration had raised the question of how are they to tell what is or how are they to tell a proportionate costs with this abandonment? Because this abandonment now says up to the point of the bill, they don't get it. But after the bill, they get something. So they had to figure out how to make that proportionate.
So if I could follow up, Senator Mr. Chair. So the net effect of this language is that abandonment is not considered before the effective date of the bill, but after the effective date of the bill, abandonment becomes a cost that can be used
yes.
to reduce the tax margin. Mr. Chair, do we have any idea of what kind of an impact that is? I mean, we've heard from so many people, we've had so many discussions, but it seemed to me that the discussions that we had in the past had been on the assumption that, in fact, abandonment would not be allowed. And so this seems like a significant policy shift that we have had simply because the drafter has included it in the bill.
No. Through the chair, Senator Elton, that provision was in there. The question that was raised by the administration was, now that you've done this and made this determination to stop at this point and then go forward at this point, how do they try to rectify an old one versus a new one? And the concept was to try to make it proportionate from, I'm not making this any clearer.
This, Mr. Chairman. Senator Stevenson.
Just a point of clarification, Senator Elton, this is still a part of Section D2, which is does not include
abandonment.
This is D2 subsection M, but Section D2 on page 17 on line 21 says the deductions from for the production of tax valuation do not include abandonment. So all of these subsections are exclusions from the deduction.
They're not allowed.
Okay.
That's why I say they're right. Excluded from they're excluded. Allowable.
Right.
Deductions.
Right. Okay.
They're
Thanks.
Not allowed.
Thanks. That clears it up.
Further questions or discussion? Okay.
Mr.
Now
Chairman,
we need
I'll pass that out.
Pass that amendment out now.
I'll go off record.
Let's just go off record for just a short break. meeting back to order. Go ahead and present the amendment, and then we'll...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have before you an amendment unnumbered, unmoved.
Do we need to move this amendment?
Well, we can move it now, yeah.
We're going to be at 2B?
B, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Amendment 2B.
I'll object. Discussion. I'll go ahead and just go through these.
Sure. Mary. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 7, line 14 of version I, insert 20% of that expenditure, period. And then on page 7, lines 15 through 19, delete all the material. And that was what we'd previously discussed as the need for the correction for the cleanup for the 30%. Again, on page 7, line 30 through page 8, line 18, delete all material. Again, the 30% correction. On page 10.
Senator Elton?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, but we don't have this language anymore. I didn't.
I know, it's Y12. Why?
We deleted that, so we.
18.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Seekins.
I'd move that we amend this amendment by deleting lines 8 and 9.
Is there any objection?
Continuing on page 18. Line 25. Following, it reads, a pipeline, facility, or service. You would insert other assets so that it would read, a pipeline, facility, other asset, or service. This, which one was this deleted by?
18.
Why 18 still? Never mind.
And the next one, too.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's the regulatory commission.
Perhaps Senator Seekins' motion could read to delete lines 8 through 16.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Seekins.
Move to amend this bill as amendment number 2 to the amendment to remove lines 10 through 18.
Continuing on page 20.
Excuse me, let's repeat your motion. Lines
11 through 18, I believe, or did you want it 20?
8.
11 through 15, isn't it?
Second motion would have been 10 through
10 through 16.
15?
16.
15. 10 through 15. 10 through 15. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. We haven't got the other one yet.
Okay.
Okay. Now go to page 20.
Sorry.
On page 20, lines 12, page 20, line 12 through page 21, line 3, is delete all materials. The purpose here, Mr. Chairman, if you'll see the next section, it deletes it and then reinserts it into section 13.
Yeah.
So you're taking some of the language out of this section and putting it into 13. The purpose is to move this subsection out of Section 22 and put it into the credit section in Section 13.
To allow a 20% credit instead of 25% deduction. Yeah. Okay. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman. This takes the transition expenditure and moves it from the determination of the production value and inserts it into the credit mechanism?
Yes.
And so then is the corrections made so that the new section will be able to be calculated against the determination?
We haven't addressed that, but I would assume so. Basically, what we did, we just transferred that from the section we're under on the determination of production tax value and put it over under the new section or the under tax credits. And the reason was there was a difference between 25% and 20% on the where'd I go? I lost my place on it now. On this section, if it stays in this section of the bill, it allows them to deduction of 25% instead of for the credit 20%.
25? The 25 is excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused how that comes up, but the 25 is for the loss carry forward. I mean, if a producer has I don't believe that producers that are going to be exercising the transitional expenditures have a loss carry forward.
That's what I was explaining.
This is the first time I've seen it, Mr. Chairman.
You and I talked about this last week.
We did?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Senator Stevens, have you forgotten?
I've forgotten a lot in the last week, let me tell you.
We went through this whole thing. We can take another look at it. But
I'll take a look at it.
I thought you did concur with me at the end of the meeting.
Well, I concur that it shouldn't go, it shouldn't be a 25% rate. I agree with that. We're taking it from a place where, you know, the loss carry forward rate of 25 only occurs in 024, where they make the determination actually 024B, on page 8, line 19, where it says a producer may elect to take a tax credit in the amount of 25 for carry forward annual loss. I'll look through it, and if I have concern, I'll address
Ms.
it.
Ms. Wilson, would you like? Maybe she can
answer the question for us. She knows this stuff inside now.
Hopefully, I can. Again, for the record, my name is Robin Wilson. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the 25% credit that you're referring to, I believe, is on page 8. That is line 19 that talks about a loss carry forward. And you're right, it's 25%, but that is sort of a special section within the general credit section, which it starts on page 7. Section 024 starts on line 9, and that gives the 20% credit. I'm no drafting attorney, but I believe that the 25% that Senator Stevens is referring to applies specifically to loss carry forward. If you're going to move this section into there, my reading of this, and you know, if Mr. Mintz is on the phone, you can jump in, but the general credit amount is 20%.
That's right, 20% in this section.
The credit is 20%.
I'll solve this later, Mr. Chairman.
And if I might just
Ms. Wilson.
That answer just a little bit, perhaps. Senator Stevens, through the chair, the way it is in version I, it is a deduction, and so with the 25% tax rate, then it's worth 25%. And in moving it then to the credit section, which is a credit amount of 20, then you get, the person would get a benefit of 20%, not 25%. That's what I understand the intention to be.
Yeah. I see. I appreciate that definition. It was my understanding that the only time you got 25% credit was when you had a loss carry forward. And I wouldn't classify a transition as a loss.
As a loss.
Thank you.
Are you okay now?
I'm still not sure it's in the right place, but I'll look into it.
Okay. I was told that's the place it goes, so. Where are we at, Ms. Jackson? Oh, okay, we're on 20, line 20.
Right, and the line 20, now that you've inserted this back into page 10, line 20 says under page 10, line 28, renumber those subsections accordingly. On page 20, the first page of the bill, line 23, is on page 20, line 31 through page 21, line 3, delete all material. This is what we just recently referenced. This is the this is the 30%. Excuse me. Page 20, line 39.
That's the $40.
Yes, excuse me. This is the, yes.
For the old transition.
Yeah. It didn't get taken out.
And then, that's fine. And then, on the second page of the amendment, we flip to page 24, line 5, insert a new subsection 2, which is to reinsert the ordinary and necessary language that the drafter dropped out, and then renumber that accordingly. So that stratigraphic test well would become subsection 3. Then on page 27, this is the last, on page 27, line 31 through page 28, line 1, 2, and 3, that is deleted. And that was the last piece of the 30% deduction that should have been deleted. And that is that explanation, Mr. Chairman.
So that is the amendment in front of you. I objected for discussion. Is there further discussion or questions? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I must have been somewhere else, but what was the reason for taking the 30% deduction for exploration out?
Well, that we were looking at all kinds of different methods in Cook Inlet at one time, and that was one of the things we had used for Cook Inlet. It was a 20% tax and a 30% credit, and then we changed it to 5,000 barrels. This thing's been following us around all through all the revisions, and it keeps being left in, and we direct to take it out, keep being left in different places. So
That's what that was for.
Okay. It's a vestigial thing that shouldn't have been trailing us.
Yeah. Further questions? Thank you, Ms. Jackson.
Thank you.
Call the question.
Question's been called on the amendment. I'll remove my objection. Is there objection? No objection. Amendment passes. We now have in front of us, let's see, working draft I. Pleasure of the body. Senator Seekins.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move CS for Senate Bill 305 as amended with attached fiscal notes from committee with individual recommendations.
Good.
I got to look at the bill packet.
Is there objection?
Object,
yes.
There's objection. Please call the roll.
Senator Ben Stevens?
No.
Senator Elvin?
Yes.
Senator
Kukesh?
Yes.
Senator Seekins?
No.
Senator Dyson?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Wagner?
Yes. Let's just go off record for a minute. this time, there's nothing further, no further comments or anything, then we're going to adjourn the meeting.